You are listening to Kilometre Zero by The Cycling Podcast, powered by Zwift, the fitness app where fun is fast.
He's there, he's done it. Ruben Guerrero can barely believe it. It's a second stage victory from the first night for EF Pro Cycling. Ruben Guerrero takes the win on stage 9 of Giro d'Italia.
Whatever chills were produced by stage 9 of this year's Giro d'Italia on Sunday may be owed more to weather than drama, but in at least a couple of ways, the 208 kilometres between San Salvo and Roccarazzo contain the essence of the Corsa Rosa. Not only because the day ended with a hint of controversy, a pizzico of polemica.
Guerrero was riding like a real asshole today.
But also because, as it journeyed north into Abruzzo, the Giro began its annual immersion in the lands or amongst the peaks, where the soul of Italy truly lies. The Apennines are known to Italians as their homeland's colonna vertebrale, or backbone, an unbroken 1,200-kilometre chain stretching from Liguria to Calabria. Not so much a mountain range or geographical feature as the country's very fibre and marrow. Almost 3,000 metres tall at their highest point, the Corno Grande of Gran Sasso d'Italia, they are green but rugged, increasingly deserted by humans but roamed by wolves, chamois and just a few dozen hardy brown bears.
I'm Marco Bonarigo, journalist at the Corriere della Sera. Forget the Alps, forget the Pyrenees, forget the charming resort, the chalet. It's something, it's like being in a movie of the 70s. It's everything seems grey, it seems rough, they are not charming at a first glance. You have to know the Apennine, especially the Apennine in the south of Italy, because they are tough. Land of shepherds, deserted because a lot of people left to go to the cities, to Rome or to the big cities in the center. So you have to discover kilometers by kilometers. When you go uphill, apparently they are not too long, not too difficult. But in some treks, you have a series of uphill that are maybe hard. And during the winter or during in October and in March, often the weather is awful. So it's better to go to the Alps than to the Apennini. So everything you do here, cycling, is hard.
Attenzione perché Jalabert in difficoltà.
Testa a testa tra Pantani e Gotti con un Jalabert, la maglia rosa in difficoltà.
I'm Eros Capecchi and I come from Tuscany. Fatica.
When I think about the Apennines, I think about suffering. That and beautiful, peaceful places. Places where it's beautiful to ride but less so to race, not least because of the weather sometimes. There are more famous overall harder climbs, but one of the ones I've suffered on the most in my career is Monte Carpegna, where Pantani used to train. To visit, I'd say it's all beautiful. Anywhere you go in Italy, you'll find amazing places, and especially in those areas. In his classic account of the 1949 Giro, Dino Buzzati described that edition's Apennine expedition from Rome to Pesaro thus.
How bitter it is to traverse the heart of Italy at breakneck speed and not be able to stop. This is where Italy is most like Italy, where 100,000 memories of major events are stirred in even those with the most basic education. But this land speaks to even someone who has never been to school and is oblivious to centuries of history, even to an illiterate person. And only a Philistine wouldn't want to stop here, stretch out in the shade of a tree with the birds singing overhead, and gaze at passing swallows and the happy clouds floating between castle turrets.
You are listening to Kilometre Zero by The Cycling Podcast, powered by Zwift, the fitness app that turns indoor riding into a game. Explore endless roads, race riders from all over the world, and boost your fitness with monthly training plans and structured workouts. Join the world's training playground where fun is fast. Go to Zwift.com and start your free trial.
I'm Michael Woods with EF Pro Cycling. With me breaking my femur I've had bad injuries in the past, particularly when I was a runner. I had a stress fracture, and one of my big regrets as a runner was after breaking my foot, I was casted for 2.5 months and just not mobile at all. And I think it ultimately was what put the nail in the coffin of my running career. So I'm a big believer in when you're rehabilitating to still incorporate movement into your recovery. Through the help of a physiotherapist in Girona named Richard Spink, get my knee flexion to an angle where I could get my leg around the pedal. And doing so, I was able to get back on the trainer about 2 weeks in. And even though I was riding for only 15 minutes at a 50 watt average, that movement, I think, really increased my rate of healing, and not just helped me physically, but mentally. The act of just doing some physical activity in the day was really cathartic. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of it. I think it gives you, it's a lot more difficult to really push yourself when you're just alone. And when you get on a platform like Zwift, you get that same level of competitiveness. And I've put out some of the biggest numbers in my life on Zwift just because of that competitive feel.
Vittoria e primato per Bernardino, secondo è Beccia. Evidentemente voleva completare la festa con il successo di tappa e la maglia rosa.
Inevitably, a natural barrier that is almost harder to circumvent on a tour of Italy than it is to overcome has given us famous pages of history. The Giro ventured beyond 1,000 metres for the first time on the third day of its inaugural edition, in the Apennines and at Roccaraso. 12 years later, on the nearby Valico del Macerone, an exhausted Costante Girardengo, the first Campionissimo, climbed off his bike and theatrically sketched a cross in the gravel road with the end of his pump, announcing, "Girardengo stops here." But despite their rich contribution to Giro folklore, climbs of the 2,000-metre stature of Blockhouse or Campo Imperatore, or the fearsome notoriety of San Pellegrino in Alpe or Monte Carpegna, the Apennines remain almost an afterthought in conversations about the Giro and its mountains. Like poorer country cousins to the Alps or Dolomites, or even worse, completely unheralded and unrecognised. Larry Warbass, where are the Apennines?
Are they in the middle of Italy? Like, oh no, wait. No, they must be just north of Genoa, because the Giro dell'Apennino finishes in Genoa.
Do you think that's the only place they are, or do you think they extend over a slightly bigger distance?
Maybe slightly bigger, but I'm not sure.
Can you name any climbs in the Apennines?
No.
Blockhouse, have you heard of that? Gran Sasso d'Italia?
Oh, shit, so Apennines are pretty big then, I think, because that's more like on the northeast of Italy, I think, so.
Happily, it wasn't everyone.
I'm Sam Oman, and I'm from Team Sunweb.
A quiz question. I'm just asking a few guys. Do you know the name of the range of mountains we're in today?
The Apennines.
Oh, very good. Giro director Mauro Vegni was born in the Apennines of southern Tuscany. For years before graduating to his current job, Vegni also designed and directed one stage race that truly celebrates the range, the Tirreno Adriatico.
Ma gli Appennini sicuramente sono una parte importante del nostro paesaggio.
The Apennines are a big part of the Italian landscape. You may not find famous mountains in the Apennines, but as a race organiser, you can create any course there. Super steep ramps, climbs whose difficulty far exceeds their reputation. So the Apennines are part of the fabric of the Giro. Unfortunately, I say unfortunately, but really it's also a blessing, we also have the coastal regions that we have to show off in central Italy. But the Apennines are really beautiful. The Marche Apennines is one of the most beautiful areas. And of course I know it well from the Tirreno Adriatico. Beautiful hilltop towns, medieval villages that are among Italy's real jewels. The Marche Apennines and the Apennines of Emilia-Romagna, they're just gorgeous. The northern Apennines maybe have more cultural, architectural appeal. Then in the south, the Apennines are wilder and more natural. I think you have to have balance. You have to have sprints, you have to have transition stages with some hills, and you also need stages with really big mountains. In the Apennines, you definitely find hard climbs, steep ramps, walls as we call them, but I think you need long climbs with fairly steady gradients where you can open up big gaps.
Those steep ramps are spectacular, but they don't offer that much from a GC perspective, as the top guys don't want to attack there.
This week, Vegni will offer up a Tirreno-style leg breaker to Tortoreto Lido on Tuesday, and an even tougher homage to Pantani's old training roads on Thursday. But as ever, these will be the antipasti to the main meals of the final week, the Dolomite and Alpine climbs, weather permitting, that will anoint the race winner and burn images into the mind's eye. It was, of course, ever thus, with one notable exception. In 2009, for the race's centenary, Vegni's predecessor, Angelo Zomignan, took an almost inconceivable and to many taste unpalatable punt, plotting an upside-down Giro that barely skimmed the Dolomites and Alps before climaxing in the Apennines. Zomignan's queen stage left commentators open-mouthed, not because of its terrifying difficulty, but because, in the race's centenary year, it shunned the summits that the Giro had turned into national treasures. Cristiano Gatti of Il Giornale said that Zomignan's Apennine experiment was akin to heresy.
Mortirolo, Gavia, Stelvio, Zoncolan, Pordoi, Agnello. In a land that's morphologically teeming with prestigious summits, Zom Il Patron has achieved the feat of avoiding all of them. Give him and his remarkable talent a standing ovation. 100 years of epic battles, a century of toiling up and down tempestuous mountains, and now the big centenary edition is going to be decided by time bonuses. Like a midsummer kermesse, like a Tirreno Adriatico, suddenly at a loss the self-proclaimed true Giro connoisseurs are telling us now that Monday's stage in the Marche will be absolutely awe-inspiring. From what they are saying, the Mortirolo and the Zoncolan are no more frightening than a masked bull. One name looms horrifyingly over the race, Monte Petrano. But level with me, who's ever heard of Monte Petrano? What the devil is Monte Petrano? Where the devil is Monte Petrano?
Some said Zomignan, Zom il Patron, never lived it down. Indeed, within 2 years he'd been replaced, and order was restored, together with the Alps and Dolomites in their prime-time third-week slot. A return to tradition and common sense, perhaps, or just to the dogmas that have become ossified, calcified like the flanks of those storied climbs.
Well, the Apennini are tricky. I'd say tricky, underestimated, as you said. Max Chandri, movie star team, sport director, born in Derby, 1967. Five kids. You never know what's around the corner. Let's put it that way with the Apennino. They always hide something. They can be quite hard. They can be quite bitey in terms of, you know, stuff can happen in a Grand Tour. I mean, as a Giro. I just keep saying, you know, these sometimes the 200s, the 220, the super hard. It's not the race course what makes the race hard, but it's the riders what makes the race hard, you know. So you can go with a shorter stage, 140K, throw in some stuff like that and it'll be carnage and stuff happens. Sometimes when it's too long, too hard and hours of riding and even, you know, TV coverage, it just makes it not that fun, you know? And the shorter stuff sometimes now with the average that people do and the gearings they have and the bike, the equipment, it's like fast and hard and let's get it over with and let's make stuff happen. So why not?
Aspetta Andrea, perché sta ripartendo Quintana, sta ripartendo Nairo Quintana, adesso ha guadagnato una decina di metri su Nibali e Pinot, dunque il secondo scatto, il secondo tentativo di affondo da parte di Quintana, non è un colpo da KO, ma è comunque la prima vera botta alla Giro d'Italia e la mette a segno Nairo Quintana sulla blockout.
You fall in love immediately when you are on, I don't know, on the Marmolada, on the Stelvio. To fall in love with the Apennini is difficult, but I can say that you have some spots, some places in the Apennini that are really, really amazing.